Shakespeare's sister inviting you to stay, and I hope you will, because I'm having a conversation shortly, in fact now, why not, with Jen Chisholm. Genevieve is no stranger to life and style, and certainly no stranger to you if you have ever been out to the magnificent sanctuary that they have created as a family out in, well, what used to be the distant sugarcane, now it's right in the middle of things. It's called Flag Animal Farm. And yeah, it is a sanctuary for rescued creatures, and generally speaking, a wonderful place for families to enjoy the open air and what there is to see and experience. So, welcome to you, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Let me get your mic on a little bit more loudly, because you sound like you are speaking
proud
from Benoni. There we go. That's better.
Awesome.
So let's talk about this flag farm, because a lot of people just assume it's always been there, but clearly, I mean, it's been a labor of love for the family for quite a long time. Tell us how it started and what makes it so special.
So basically, my family, we had a sugarcane farm and everything was going downhill with the drought. And we managed to scrape that farm off, and my gran helped us buy the magnificent piece of land, the Flag Animal Farm, but it was so run down. So I remember walking the streets of Durban, begging people to come in with 1 cent flyers, and our entrance in those days was R5.
Wow.
And it was just, it's been such a remarkable journey.
But did you start off with the idea of creating an animal farm, or was it really going to be a small holding for your family to live on and enjoy?
So it was originally an animal farm, but more for like breeding animals for pet shop trade. And it became so run down that it was actually closing. The animals were in shocking condition.
The previous owners started.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. People don't realize it's 7 days a week. So your heart has to be invested. You have to almost sacrifice your life for the well-being of the animals. And that's what I feel my calling is in my life.
Wow. It's expanded clearly beyond breeding animals for pet shops.
Oh, absolutely. We don't sell or adopt animals out. My whole goal in life is to change an animal's life. Like, we've just taken in a blind little calf called Mumi. And like my husband says, of course you picked up the blind one. Yes, I did, because no one else would. And that's what I believe in.
And for visitors to Flag Animal Farm, what do they what? I know that the people don't really understand the concept until they're there. There's so much to experience. But if you were to encapsulate it, what makes it for visitors such an attraction?
It's a family of animals. So if your children arrive, you're surrounded by animals that are so kind and caring that the child can actually feel the wool of a sheep, the fur of a goat, and actually sit there with a baby goat on their lap that falls asleep in your arms. It's the interaction between...
So you encourage that interaction. Most places don't.
No, and I love it because our animals thrive on it.
Ah.
When there's no one there, they actually pine.
Really?
They get so sad.
Because most farm animals don't like people.
Ours actually cannot wait for you. You must see the first family that comes in. They're waiting in reception.
The animals?
They are. And in lockdown, the animals were following us around. I felt like Mary had a little lamb, because like everything was following us for attention. They were so confused, yeah.
Do you think this is because they're attenuated to people? Most have been hand-raised, haven't they?
Not really. Some have come in from such abuse, but within 24 to 48 hours, they're so content and loved. I think the aura on the farm is so positive that they'd speak to each other. They let them know that they're safe. They're totally content.
Wow. And what sort... Because it's not only domestic animals or farm animals. You also have some wild creatures.
We do have some exotics. Obviously, being crow, we get a lot of exotics in, but the indigenous go back into the wild. So I do take in some strange animals, and every day you never know what to expect.
And you rescue a lot of creatures as well. I know that I've seen many folk in distress finding something, particularly little birds that blow out of nests or whatever circumstances. They now are helpless and are going to die unless they can get help. And most often they are directed to wildlife rescue and then to you, because you are the local crow depot.
Absolutely. So I do a lot of work in the States. I'm so honored and so privileged to be the crow depot for the last 10 years. And not only that, the states have stepped up. They all got these little budgets now. They've all got their management teams. They all work in sync with me. And I've made the most amazing friends along the journey. And that's in the best interest of the wildlife.
And what sort of, you mentioned when you came in earlier that you had been inundated of late with rescues because of the weather.
Oh, absolutely. So wind to me is terrible. Cold is the greatest harm to any wild animal, even domestic animal, because cold, little babies suffer. You know, older animals suffer. So this weather to me, I know I'm going to have a very busy day. Phone calls don't stop. And also, like, I get phone calls from all over South Africa asking for help. Mm. So it's the connections that you make over the years.
Wow. And while we're on the subject, I know a lot of people want to help and they do completely the wrong thing and they try and feed baby birds with the wrong stuff. What should you do if you come across something that requires assistance?
Absolutely. So the first thing is heat. If you pick up a baby bird, remember you need to identify the fact, does it need your help or not?
Because,
is it on first flight?
Yeah, mostly they don't need your help if they just happen to be learning the ropes and you come along to rescue it because you want to be kind and only first do no harm. Okay, so then what do you do after that?
So heat, and then put it in a little cardboard box, bring it straight through to Flag Animal Farm.
Don't give it a syringe full of
nothing. Pro-Nutro. Pro-Nutro. In future life, the worst thing you can do. But the best thing is not to do anything, just to warm it and bring it straight through to me. I have everything on hand. But also you can drop it off at Flag Animal Farm between 8 and half past 4. And now it's Springvale 24 hours a day.
Oh, let's talk about
how
that.
How awesome.
You have made the move to Springvale, which is really what the chat is all about, because this is the Springvale feature. And we're talking to very interesting people over the weeks that have made Springvale their home, including Jen and Cam and the fam. Tell us about that. What was behind the decision to move to Springvale?
So the land, if you ask the community, I was actually running with Karen Conway the other day, who's a farm neighbor. That land that Springvale has built on is very blessed to the community. We have run many times with our wolves there, our miniature ponies, the community used to picnic around that dam. Springvale is possibly one of the greatest pieces of land and so loved. So, and it's also changed our world. Just the safety element, the people that have moved in there, and the size of the land and that you can have animals there is a massive win for me. And people don't realize I've actually released quite a bit of wildlife in there through the crow because it's now a permitted site.
We won't talk about the snakes you've released.
Oh, no, I haven't released any snakes. No rock pythons that I know are in there.
I'm joking.
But I have released 2 blue duikers, some chameleons, lots of birds, turtles, a grey duiker. There's been some beautiful.
So there are wild creatures in the Springvale estate.
Absolutely. So the other morning I was running and I was surrounded by a family of cane rats. Not like a normal rat. They look like a mongoose. But I was surrounded by them with lots of babies. And it's sort of the first time in many, many years that I've actually seen them come back to the area.
Yeah. Do they produce lots of... Because I thought they were quite solitary producers.
Absolutely. It was actually because of the safety of the boundary war now. Things are thriving.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see.
So the choice, and it clearly wasn't difficult to make based on your love of the area. What was the process like starting your build, shall we say?
Well, we were very fortunate because we bought before like lockdown and everything. Stuart hadn't even like launched and we were phoning him because we knew the convenience of the farm next door, it worked for us.
Yeah.
And we needed to have a break from the farm for our family to actually have a little bit of a life because we work 7 days a week and we wanted our children to be able to rollerblade, skate, make friends in the urban area, should I say, and just have a little bit of a normal life.
And is that what you found? I mean, it's often one hears estates are horrible places because everyone interferes with everyone else and you always have those that decide that they are going to be the authority and they're going to check on the color of your wall and the shape of your boundary fence or whatever. I don't know what it is, but there are a lot of people that interfere generally in estate living. And what has your experience been like at Springvale?
So it's been quite different having neighbors. I've never in my whole entire life had a neighbor. So we've got very cool neighbors. We've got Dan and Craig. But the Graham family have made this magical estate And they've also employed a guy called Dave who does all the maintenance. And let me tell you the skill of this man. When I go for a trail, there's always a new bridge or a new hardy or new plants they planted.
Are there trails on the estate?
Yes. So I did all my hockey training at 4 a.m. on my own in the dark, safe in Springvale Estate.
Wow.
And there's also a gym.
So the facilities include, you said there's a dam on the estate.
There's two.
Okay, tell us about that.
So there's two dams. Stocked, people do like fishing, but I'm a little bit anti it because of the tackle that I've got to go and rescue birds and that.
Oh, yeah.
But the community in Springvale have been very, very good. They do remove all their fishing line and everything. And because I live in there, I'm monitoring, like you cannot believe. There's just little hardy holes and just beautiful little picnic areas, and it's a lot of green space.
So there's the trails that you talk about. There's a gym. There's the fishing holes
that people enjoy,
and then the individuals that are running their shall we call them mini farms, the little chickens and things running around. It must be quite extraordinary, really.
So it's been amazing because my neighbor Dan's got like chickens and ducks, and she'll phone me and say, can you come clip the duck's wings for me? I'm like, absolutely. And then they'll have like a bunny hopping down the driveway, and it feels like I'm almost at the farm. I think I've got the least amount of animals than everyone else because we've only got Toddy, our cat, and our two dogs, but I do bring home rescues. So you are the
I can see in your latter life you're going to be that eccentric old lady with the birds and the creatures, because that's your life, you love it. And I think the community is very fortunate that you have this passion and this kindness and this desire to care for the creatures of the world that we share, because there is so much cruelty in the world, and nature is pretty cruel, just the way it is. But kindness is a rare commodity, and it's the most beautiful commodity on the planet, you know, especially when one finds towards the end of your existence, when you are dependent on the kindness of strangers. What a blessing that is, to find people that care about the world that we live in, and they make a huge difference. People like you. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for sharing the information. And I'm sure that your family, growing family in Springvale, is going to have a magnificent story as it unfolds, as the estate grows and develops. And in time, I'm sure we will come and have another chat on the radio, and you'll tell us about more exciting, wonderful things happening in that part of the world. But for right now, anyone wanting to share the experience, are there still, as far as you know, stands available?
There are. So they just phone Springvale Direct and ask for Stuart, and Stu will be able to take them around and show them. But they've got to get in quick, because there's some magnificent plots still available. And become part of the Springvale family.
You see, I think you should be one of those agents for them, because you do a great job. Genevieve Chisholm from Flag Animal Farm. If you have a moment spare, or you're at a loose end and you're looking for something to do on the North Coast, it's a must. Go and support the initiative and the animal rescue, and generally speaking, what Genevieve is all about. Thanks for joining me on The Morning Show. This will be up as a podcast shortly, so if you've missed the bulk of it, don't worry. You can listen to it on demand later. And, we will hopefully reconnect soon. I like chatting to you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. It was wonderful.
Always a pleasure. Genevieve Chisholm from Flag Animal Farm. And The Morning Show continues.